Well, you've stepped into the second week of this series. We're going on the spiritual journey, which is where we're trying to understand that, God, all of our stuff is yours. We're trying to surrender, and we're trying to listen and say, God, what do you want back? And then actually follow through and do that. And on the spiritual journey, we've been using different things to help us all understand that process. Last week, we gave away $60,000 in cash and fortune cookies, saying, go out there and build into people, because this is all God's stuff. And people have been emailing in as a sign of accountability what they've been doing with theirs. And by the way, this is Yvonne. Everyone say hello to Yvonne. And I just got this one that somebody sent in from last week. It said, last Sunday was my first time at your church. I was literally blown away by the service. A friend had warned me that you were ramping up for a capital campaign, so I was expecting you to turn the screws of guilt on us. Why would you expect that from a church? I wouldn't understand why you'd think that. Instead, I was instructed not to put anything in the offering basket, and then you gave me $10. Wow. I was so inspired by the message that it is all God's stuff and that we are merely entrusted with it that I spent a long time trying to know what to do with my $10. I even wished that I had been entrusted with $100 instead. And then I realized that I had. The other $90 was simply sitting in my checking account. So I took, quote, our $100 and gave it to one of the custodians at our school who's always cheerful and a hard worker, despite her 60-plus years and the physicalness of her job. She literally cried when I gave it to her, telling me that she could have used it at the grocery store the night before when she didn't have enough for many of the groceries she needed. I knew I had found the right recipient. Thank you so much for the inspiration to do this. Not only did our money make a difference, I've told this story to people, further spreading God's love. Very sincerely, and leaves his message. Gives his, awesome. Cool stuff,
awesome.
Huh?
Awesome.
And I was talking with Yvonne this last Wednesday's Next Level service, and you had a little story to tell us. You told me. Tell what happened with you.
Well, when I received my envelope, I was kind of nervous. I said, well, Lord, I'll double whatever you put in here. And when I opened it up, it was $5.
Yeah,
I was like, come on, God. So, but still, you know, everything means something. I prayed about who to give this to, and he told me the person to give it to. So when I just called him up and just kind of invited myself over, and they had no idea what I was going to do. But when I came over, they began to start telling me some stories and things that had happened that had financially challenged them this past week. Hmm. And so then I knew that I had given the money to the right person. And so when I presented her with the envelope and told her about what had happened here, she really was moved by it all. She said, I can't believe
it. It was for gas money, so she could get back.
I gave it to her for gas money because she's a young mother, single mother on dialysis. Mm. And so I thought with gas money, you know, with all she's been through, she needs gas money to get back and forth to dialysis. So it was money well spent.
And for you as a single mom, how are you processing this crazy campaign?
Oh, this crazy campaign for me is awesome because this is the time when I know God is going to move and do some awesome things. I remember as a teenager being a part of a church that did a big expansion. And we got so excited until I forgot about all that teenage stuff that you buy, and I started giving my money away to church. And, but I learned as a young girl being a tither. Mm. And then I learned as giving over and above the tithe is where the real blessing is. Mm. So then as I began to start giving, and when finally everything ended and I realized how much I had given, I was really shocked that I had given that. So I look forward to this because I know that God is going to move and act upon not just my money, but those things that I plan to do in my heart. Mm. So, and that's what everybody needs to know.
Oh, thanks. Would you, before I kind of talk, would you just pray for us and get us set up for this?
Sure. Right. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for this blessed day that you have given us. And Lord, that the hearts of the people will know that they do count, because it is only by them that you flow here, that you move and do and have your being. And so that everyone will know that they do play a part in your kingdom, that they do have meaning and they are wonderful, that you will bless each and every person to act as you have given it to them. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's thank Yvonne for being with us. Sorry. Well, today what I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about my story and the journey of this campaign. We're having different people talking about their story, and today I'm going to talk about my story. And there's a reason I'm talking about this today. It's because As a leader, one of leadership principles 101 is that no one goes, the leader hasn't first gone. And I need to model a lot of the things that God is doing in my life, and because God might be wanting you to do many of the same things. And so I'm going to talk about my journey today. Before I do that, just understand, as we go through this whole thing of surrender, of listening and doing it, this is not a money thing. This isn't everything in life thing. I remember when I realized this when I was in high school. When I realized that, you know, following Christ is a 24/7 thing. It's not just surrendering an hour of my week to go to church. It's the totality of my life. It's all of it. And I remember one of the ways this kind of sunk into me, it meant that it also affected my sexual life. There was a girl in high school who was a cheerleader who was hot for me, which is, you know, which was very understandable. Wise woman, wise girl on her part. No, actually, she was hot for me, and I didn't have a lot of dates in high school. I did not, and so whenever I, you know, found someone was interested in me, I was normally always interested, especially one person like this was interested in me because she had a reputation for being very sexually, I don't know what you want to call it, promiscuous, inventive, whatever. She was active with some people she had seen previously, and so as a ball of hormones as a 16-year-old, I'm like, that's the kind of person I need to date. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking. But God really invaded my world, and I realized that what I did sexually, what I did relationally, it was a reflection on Him. Would I surrender? Would I bring my life, all my stuff, up here on the table with Him? Would I do that? And I remember making that decision to not even ask her out because I realized I could not overcome the temptation of actually even going out with her knowing that she had the standards that she had. And that was an act of surrender. And this is something we see in the Bible in Romans 12:1 when it says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of all that God has done for you, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. To offer the totality of yourself, to surrender yourself, to please God 24/7. This is just what makes sense. And so it's not just in that area of my life. It's been in every area of life. Up to a couple weeks ago, we went away on a little spring break trip. I've never gone to spring break before. My family's gone down different times, but I've never gone down with the family. But this time I felt that it was important to do that right before the crazy campaign started up to get some time with the family before my schedule got crazy. And I remember driving down just before we got to the condo, and I had this prompting, what I call prompting from God. And by the way, I think anything that's a prompting from God, I assume anything that's a good thought that I think God approves of, my default is God gave me that thought. And so this prompting comes to me of, use this week to bless your family. Surrender this week to your family. And for me, that's always different, because when I go to a beach, I go with my books, I go with the cooler, I go with the chair, I just park myself, and I plow through books. And then if somebody wants me to do something, it's like, okay, at the end of this chapter, at the end of this book, or something like that. And so I realized this was going to be a different break, and I saw these go-kart tracks off to my left, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the kids to the go-kart tracks. And it's going to be like one little chintzy ride like I only got when I was a little kid, you know? Not that I don't have baggage about my childhood, but I want to go and bless them. I want to do like multiple rides on that thing. And we get down and I'm reading a book and on the beach, and I'd have a kid come up and say, hey dad, you want to, you know, hit the paddle ball? And I'd be like, thinking to myself, no, I want to finish this chapter. But realize I need to surrender this time. So yeah, sure, I'll do it. So we'll shut the book and go hit the paddle or do whatever needs to happen on the beach. Everything that week, when you have this surrendered lenses on, you see things differently. Last night, we're getting all packed up. I'm all showered. I'm ready to just kind of detox from the whole time, get ready for the trip back. And my daughter says, hey, Dad, you want to play some, you know, night tennis? Go out and play tennis. I'm like, oh, no, I really don't. I just showered, and I don't want to give you the opportunity to beat me again, is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, no, I don't want to. I realize, hey, if I'm surrendering this time to that, this is a reflection of what I think about God. And so this idea of surrender, it's a 24/7 thing. It's an every single area of life thing. It just gets sticky for most of us when money is concerned. Because money is the primary competitor for our heart. It's why Jesus talked more about money than anything. He talked more about money than heaven, talked more about money than hell, than love, than prayer, anything. Because money is our God that we put our trust in as opposed to God. And so in our journey, in this whole campaign, this idea of surrender has been going on for a year and a half, 2 years, because our family has been under a level of pressure and stress from the last campaign. It was an act of surrender for me to even say, all right, I think that we ought to do this thing. Because last time, I don't want to go into all the details right now, but we about tanked our family with all the difficulties that we had gone through with the added pressure of this place. Somebody asked me at one of the personal contact meetings, which, by the way, if you're going to be on this journey, you got to go to one of those. You get nitty-gritty facts, details, everything. After the service today or next week, you can call a number and find one I'm doing like every night, two a night for now to eternity, you know. Call that number. I think we have a number put up and say, hey, when can I get slotted in? And once somebody asked me a question, one of those, it was a great question. Said, what has God done to prepare you for this journey? And I hadn't even thought about that before. And as I thought about it, I think what God has done for me is, if I had any remnants in me of really getting an ego surge from being a part of something that was growing, that was explicitly and totally stamped out last time. It was completely stamped out because the cost and toll on me and my family with this thing is way better, or is very high. And so now I know it's a completely surrendered thing of, God, this is what you want me to do, and this is the stuff that I see modeled in scriptures. And one of the reasons I have been having a hard time surrendering this is for this very day, today. I've known that this day was going to come, and this is the day when I have to model one of the leadership moves of King David in the Old Testament, who went where he had to first go before anybody else would go. And what he did is he modeled for the entire community what he was going to give to their project of building a campaign. He modeled what that was going to look like. And he told people specifically what he was going to give. Let's take a look at what the passage says. 1 Chronicles 29, King David says, you know, the task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. And with all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. In my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and for the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who's willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? I read that, and what David says at the end, he's saying, okay, I've gotten up on the table. I've surrendered. I've set myself aside. Who's willing? Who else is willing to say to God, I will set myself aside to your service. I will surrender to you. Because he spells out what he's going to give. He says, I'm going to give 110 tons of gold. That's how much gold that was. 110 tons of gold. 260 tons of silver. And he says, this is what I'm doing. And people said, man, if that's what God's doing in your heart, we need to take this journey seriously. And I've known this day was going to come because I can't ask any of us to do something that I'm not first willing to do. And so I'm going to talk about that today. And as a recap, we talked about last week that all that I have, David had a bunch of gold, bunch of silver. I don't have any gold. I don't have any silver, which I did. I actually got some gold on my ring here. But we recognize that God, all of my stuff, I've got to realize that and surrender, just like I surrender my sexual life, my relational life, my vacation life, everything. I've got to realize all my stuff, I've got to recognize and surrender to you. Whether that's my checking and savings account, whether that's my bottled water that I'm going to consume while I'm here, or whether it's my retirement stuff, or whether it's entertainment choices like my cable, or whether it's my wallet, my credit cards, the church's Palm Pilot thing there, or whether it be furniture, or whether it be my house, keys to my house, or silverware, other furniture, my cars, all the stuff that I've had in storage or in boxes. I don't even know what the heck is in there anymore, but all that stuff is yours and my cars. And, and even stuff that is represented in my earning ability or in my accounts that I'm planning on doing. I don't have right now, but I'm setting resources aside. I'm planning on it. Stuff like that driveway I want to get paved, it's stone right now. A little pavement there. I want to, pave that driveway. Stuff like that garage that I want to build, and put that garage on my thing. The garage is there because, I want to put my cars in a garage is what I really want. And, not only that, but, when our new house, interest rates were going down, 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 down. And while interest rates were going down, 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 my love for Harley Davidson's was going up, 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 up. And so We tapped in and took out an extra amount of the mortgage for me to go buy a new Harley Davidson and pay for it for 30 years. And that money is sitting in here, but really that represents my hog, is what that represents. So even my hog, so you know, I have a place to put my hog right in there, you know, my garage. And so I can't forget my cell phone or the church's cell phone. You know, so all of this stuff, God, all of this stuff is yours. And God, what do you want? Of all this stuff here, you know, what do you want? What would honor you? Since I recognize that you blessed me with all this stuff, what of this stuff do you want to go back? And we've been thinking about this for a long time, but I can't really talk about it by myself, because this is not a me decision, it's a family decision. So please welcome up on stage my wife, that cheerleader in high school. Please welcome her up right now.
We all know that.
She was not that cheerleader. No, she was not. He was not.
Bad.
Well, let's just first of all talk about the process that we've been on and pulling this stuff together.
Well, I think it wasn't too shortly after the last campaign was over that we knew we're going to do another one. And honestly, my heart was not right at that. We struggled the last one, not with what we were giving, but just the consumption of how much time it took and time away from us. And anyway, I was not excited about it. I really was thinking, not another one. We just got in this house. And I think I love what you said last week about why we tend to think that God's just going to, if we really surrender, he's going to strip everything from us and, you know, leave us
naked and live in a van down by the river or something like that.
Eating porridge or something.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, you think that you have that fear and that's not what God wants. And so
we've been including our kids on this process.
Yeah. So the journey was from kind of going, to, okay, you know, let's take a look at really what's needful.
And so we're going to talk about like what God has done in us. But I want to be very clear. This is our story. It's not you. What we're doing is what we feel really cheerful. We're challenged, but we're really cheerful before God. Please, this is no expectations of anybody else. This is just where we are in our journey. And hopefully this will help you in the midst of your journey. And also, we're not going to tell you a specific dollar amount. I'm going to tell you some percentages and stuff. I'm not going to give you a dollar amount today. And here's why. Because as soon as you give a dollar amount, then it becomes a funding campaign. And it gets squirrely because dollar amounts kind of mess with our minds. And I know if I give you we know what our dollar amount is, but if I give you the dollar amount, for a lot of you, you have way, way more than us. And God might, he might not too, but he might expect and want way, way more dollar amount from you than us. And so if you heard our dollar amount, you would be tempted to go, oh, that's fine. Well, I could do that. You know, no problem there. And then for a lot of us as well, you know, you don't have as much stuff as we do. And maybe God is not going to call you to do some of the things he's calling us to. And if we give you a number, you'd look at that number and you could be tempted to go, I can't. I, this is just so defeating for me. Well, what does my little bit mean? And it's not about the amount of the check. It's about the percentage of our heart and our lives that's surrendered. That's what's important. And when we do that, this is how we grow spiritually, and this is how our church becomes healthier and healthier. So let's talk about what we feel like is going.
Well, so anyway, yeah. Well, let me just say before that, we're good. We're healthy.
Yes, we are. Yes.
We're in a good place coming into this. So anyway,
better
just want to clear
been.
That.
Better than we've ever been.
Yeah. So we wanted to involve our kids in the process, and in doing that, you know, what is it, guys, that you want or would be willing to sacrifice? And, you know, having them give it some thought, which was kind of tough for them. Yeah. But one of the things was actually
the cable. And actually, they're still not feeling really good about this, you know, to be honest. But, you know, we're in process, and this money we put towards cable, that's going to go away, except for the basic antenna service. Kids also with the Speedway stuff.
Yeah, after school, my kids are starving. And I know you guys who have kids know that they're starved. And they can't even wait till they get home. And so occasionally, every day, they beg me to stop at Speedway by school and we want to get a little snack. But I don't do it every day. And so one of the things Jake had mentioned was, you know, Mom, we can just cut that Speedway thing out altogether. And I thought, oh, that, number one, nutritionally, that's just great. But you know, you that racks up to a chunk of change. And so we just kind of trying to niggle through, you know, where can we cut back?
The amount of times we eat out, we go out to eat every Sunday night, and kids have said, well, you know, maybe we go out to eat every other Sunday and do pizza the off nights or something like that. And that frees up, you know, stuff. So we've thought about that. We've realized that we're making a financial commitment that's going to mean, you know, we're not going to be able to put in our asphalt driveway over the next 3 years. And, you know, if it happens, if something unique happens, that's great. But we're making a commitment that's going to preclude that. And by the way, volunteers set my salary, so it's not like I'm going to go, yeah, and then I'm going to just up my salary. That doesn't work like that around here. I'm just like you. I'm on a fixed income. I don't have stocks. I don't have, you know, a lot of that stuff that some of us do. And so these are the kind of decisions we've gone before God with. So this, you know, we feel like we need to just have mud keep coming in our house from our stone driveway, right? Yep. And by the way, the idea of a garage, having a house for our stuff, as good as that would be, we're saying, you know, we're not going to hold off on that. We're going to keep parking everything outside. We think that God, you know, wants that back. And then the big one for us is this little guy, or big guy, depending, this checking, this savings account where that extra money from the hog is sitting, and where actually a lot of other money has been sitting. Let's talk about that.
Well, I think this is a little harder for you than me because of this.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Not that I'm not bummed with it. You're not getting
it. This is mine.
I think... for me, off the top, and really... in the process, it wasn't even really a prayerful thing, that I just knew we were going to cash out. We were just going to give whatever we had in savings back to the church. And I'm not saying that was easy, because it's a little harder because we have more than we've ever had. But then again, a little sinful insight on me. Just having gotten into this house, I'm not finished nesting, you know. And so there's things I would still like to get, and one of them being like window treatments, and get this deck not quite finished, and you know, projects, that kind of thing. So I'm like, okay, before the building campaign, we've got to get, I've got to make that list of what we need, and because we're cashing out. So, so you know, it's still a matter of a heart thing, and just processing what does God really want. So.
Yeah. And we're
that was a given.
We cashed out last time. Actually, that's been part of kind of our mantra is a couple is I love savings. I believe in savings. You've heard me talk about money. I've talked about money regularly for the last 8 years. I believe a regular disciplined savings plan is good and healthy and biblical. And that my savings is not my savings. It's God's, and God can call that in whenever he wants. And it's just so interesting for me that I always thought that the less I had, the easier, the harder it was to give. And the more I had, the easier be to give, and quite opposite. It's exactly the opposite. That's why the Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. You know, the more we've gotten, this thing is fat right now, fatter than we ever thought we would have. And it's harder, because this becomes our security. Where God should be our security, this becomes our security, and this God makes me secure through my savings. And so again, this is for us, but we're saying, God, what all that's in there on May 23rd, that's cashed out and goes to you.
Well, you know, too, a unique part of of our journey has been, we've just had the fortune, too, of seeing God's faithfulness throughout our married life. And I know you guys are tired of hearing about the house fire, and I don't want to go into that. But, you know, we had, you know, hindsight, that was such a good thing for us, because we lost everything, not by choice. And so that really, and then we saw the provision of God since then, and just, you know, stand back in an amazement at his provision. So it gave us more of an open-handed, or me, speaking for me, just an open-handed way of looking at all our junk, all our stuff.
Yeah. So what this means for us is last time we gave, you know, we were tithing to the church or going beyond, and then we gave an additional tithe on top of that. So 20% of our income went back to what God was doing here. And we had a couple little things outside of here, too, we do. And we felt this time that we have more than last time. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And so our base starting point was the same percentage that we gave last time. And so what we did with us, we upped it by 5%. So our total stuff is going to be 25% that's going to be going back here. And which includes our cashing out and monthly outlay, that we're still not sure exactly how we're going to meet our monthly outlay.
I'll just interject here too. The last campaign, we did this thing where we were on a cash system. So every pay, I would get like a lump sum cash, and that would go for everything. Like it would go for groceries, kids' clothes, you know, any little household trinket I wanted to buy. And there was actually great freedom in that. Number one, I think when you slap down your bank card, it's so much easier to spend than it is when you're putting down green. And so it's just a good accountability for us in that area. And then the other thing is it gives freedom that I can save for things that you really would normally...
Which are stupid things.
...rip on me.
Right, yeah. So things
for buying,
make, like... Things that make no sense. Right.
And so I can
things that God doesn't like. Yes.
You know, you go a step too far. No, you can't give me any flack for anything because I have saved
that's
it
right.
in cash green.
Right.
So
we were wrestling with this last week, and we just came to closure on this a couple days ago. And one of the things that just happened, that I brought this DVD home, it was a recording that our video people says. I said, honey, before we nail it down, you got to see this. A little history. We had years ago, before we came in here, a service where there was a prayer service for people who had made commitments for 3 years above and beyond what they normally gave. To build into people by creating space. And we had the service where we actually wrote the names of our friends who we wanted to be touched by this place who didn't have room for this place. Room to be in the previous place that we were. And so we had a prayer service. We wrote people's names down. And just on a lark, I decided to like see if I could find that post. And actually take a look at what our video department just put together. Well, we're here doing a special investigative report on a follow-up from a significant thing that happened in our building about 3 years ago, where we actually wrote the names of our friends on the posts who are not currently a part of our community, who we were asking God to have a major impact on as a result of this building. I'm going to write their names on those posts right there. And I have enough faith in God that I know someday I'm going to take them back and say, behind this wall, your name is here. On this evening, I wrote your name. I want to mark you before God. I want to mark you. Because that's how much God loves you. I'm going to pray for you. I pray that God will use this building for that. I'm going to take that pen. I'm going to go over here in Kids Club. One son of a good friend of mine is a precious kid. I'm going to put his name over there. I got our handy maintenance guy here. Come on over here, Jay. Jay, your name is Jay. Jay, well, what do you got in here? We got a hole here?
We've got the hole cut and ready for you to just go in and start digging.
All right, Geraldo Rivera reincarnated. Here I come. You have a cut, huh? Oh, here it is.
See your light, Jay. That's the beam right there.
Oh, this is it right here.
That's your beam.
We're going to scrape there, too.
I need to get
of the green.
Ah, there she is.
Yeah, that light.
Can you hold that right there?
Right now, he's coming to Christ. I'm freaking believable. Get the...
As I'm freaking believable, unbelievable, you know. You know what God does every day? He works. That's what he does every day. I think 3.5 years ago, when many of us came in here and wrote people's names, that he was orchestrating at that moment to come back and bless those people and bring them to him through what's happened in this building. And it had this nice little bump out room right there for us to finally access. You want to know if God answered prayers? Yes. Green Post says so. So, man, that's a journey.
Unbreakable. Well, I gotta explain a little bit of why that was so cool for me when you brought that tape home. 4 years ago, I joined a tennis club and started playing tennis, and the names I wrote down were names of the girls on my team. And the one girl, Mary Burke, has since then, you know, started coming to Crossroads and has become my best friend, and you know, we're on this journey together.
God's invaded her world.
God's done incredible things in her life. She's taught me so much just through our friendship, and she's just, you know, knows everything. It's amazing. She's crazy involved in this campaign now, you know.
I had forgotten all the people who I had written on my list, and I actually have fulfilled. It's almost like we planned it. We didn't. When I said that in that message in 2000, I said, I'm going to bring them back here. I was trusting God, but that's literally happened. One of the guys here last night, I've taken him back to that spot. And God's invaded his world since he's been here.
Well, look who's here.
This is Mary Burke. You never know what you're going to get here. And you didn't know you were on that post, did you?
No.
I maybe I should have warned you.
The guy next to me thinks I'm crazy. I'm like, I'm Mary Burke. Thanks. Oh, I'm God. I'm sorry.
All right. Go sit down. Go sit down.
So, I mean, it's just too incredible. God answers prayers.
One guy took back there and showed him, and he's actually, because God's invaded his world and some of his unique talents, he's actually been in on the design of the next building. And I'm hearing more and more stories. There's posts like that are all over this stinking place. All over. And many of you are in here because someone else in here put your name on that thing. And that's what happens when you surrender your life. That's what happens when God invades your world. So, we saw that and we're like, whatever. Whatever. We said, you know, all this stuff doesn't mean jack to us. We're compared to what a healthy church can do. And, is it uncomfortable? Yes. Are we cheerful? You better believe it. Anything else you want to say, sweetie?
No, it's just great to be on this journey. And, you know, we're in a healthy place now. And I think, you know, it's just a matter of just checking out what's on your table and allowing God to work in your heart. And it's really not about the money. It's so much about a heart thing. And so.
Thanks, my wife, for let's thank my wife for being up here on stage with us today. Few things that you can follow along in your program. If you'd like, you can do a little self-study on your own. Along with those prayer journals that you can get out at the tape CD if you didn't get one last week. And you got to have a CD so you get caught up from last week. But you can put this in your own thing too. Three things that comes out of the nation of Israel's response in the midst of their journey. First thing, why do you surrender? Three things. Number one, it isn't mine anyway. They say, God, all that you've given us comes from you. This stuff isn't mine. I get to have it, but it's all yours. Second thing, I think is I'm going to lose it anyway. Someday I'm going to lose it. Market's going to crash, and this is going to get tanked. This is going to get rusted out, or I'm just plain going to die. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. It just doesn't happen. I mean, someday, eventually, I'm going to lose it anyway. And then finally, no other way makes sense. No, life does not make sense outside of this. No other way makes sense. That passage we looked at earlier, about in view of the mercies of God, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. I've talked about some stuff today that might have made me look somewhat good. I've just given you some of the good stuff today and give you the whole picture of me. God's mercy is on my life in an unbelievable way. If God was completely fair with me, I'd be a speck of goo that he squashed on the bottom of his foot. God has been so merciful for me that when I view the mercy that God has given me and the things he's given us, I'm just going, God, whatever it takes, I will present myself. I'll present myself to you. Just bumped into somebody out in the atrium before the first service. Said, man, I'm really struggling with this, trying to figure out what I'm doing. Just got married, just got a house. Said, where'd you meet your wife? Said, I met her here. Oh, really? Got friends who are now coming here who were previously unconnected with what a church is about and trying to figure out who God is. I'm just going, that, I look at what we're doing in South Africa, what we're trying to do with the poor in Cincinnati. I'm like, whatever, I want to present myself as a sacrifice for that. I've been really encouraged just by the whole mood in Crossroads. In this whole journey, there's been a lot less conflict and a lot less cantankerousness here now than last campaign. And I'm like, oh gosh, it's really cool what's happening. But I think I realize why. Cindy Weiniger, who's our executive director, told me about a conversation she had with somebody this last week after Next Level. Guy said, well, how much do you have so far for the crazy campaign? And she said, nothing. So what do you mean? Well, you know, it's a journey. We're not going to know anything until the end. He said, well, you've had your big hitters step up, right? I mean, you've had foundations who've kind of said some stuff, or your big, big hitters. And it's like, no. No, and that's when it dawned on me. Ding. Well, no wonder everyone is feeling okay about this. Oh, yeah, Crossroads. Yeah, you know, South Africa building. Because I think a lot of us just think, hey, someone's going to just swoop in and happen. Because that's what happens around here, right? No. No, the only thing anything ever happens around here is because people live surrender lives. Regular people get up on the table. Regular people say, who I am, the totality of who I am, here I am. There's no foundation. There's no phantom fat cat out there. Well, if you're in here, call me, okay? There's no phantom, you know, fat cat out there. It's regular, average, everyday people like you and I. And it's not a crazy campaign. It's a life thing. The question for all of us is this. Will you present your body a living sacrifice, and will you get up on the table? All of you. Will you get up on the table? What are you going to put up there? You're going to put one hand up there? You're going to, you know, put half your body up there? And this is the process here. This is God's goal. Many of us are seekers. Many of us are trying to figure this out. That's great. So you know, this is the goal. And when you want to call yourself a Christ follower, that means I follow. I get myself on the table. I say the totality of whom I am, God. All of it. What do you want? I'm going to be a living, surrendered sacrifice to you. Let's stand. Let's stand right now. And I'm going to try to get off without falling. One of the things that's been significant in Libby and my journey and our family, it's become sort of a theme song. I'll invite the band out. It's become a theme song. This idea of God, God is enough. All that God has, he's given us, is enough. And God might get, we made this commitment, we're going to make this commitment, and God might give us more. I don't know what God's going to do, but we got to recognize that what we have right now, it's enough, because when you have Christ, it's enough. Mary, sorry for putting you in an uncomfortable position, first of all, today, and thanks for being a surrendered person coming up here, even though you shocked me when you did that. So excited how God's just working in you. Phenomenal. You know what? It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with buildings. It has nothing to do with any of the things that we get fearful of. It all has to do with us, wherever you are. Are you willing to go the next step and get up on the table? And wouldn't recognize, God, that all that you give me, just because you are you, you're enough. God, help people process what happened today, this magical moment that just happened today. maybe a once-in-a-lifetime moment. Help us process that and to know what that means to us. And God, anything that Libby and I have said, just decrease that in our minds and increase you in our minds. And I pray this in your name. Amen.